You've likely heard of the Pareto principle, or the 80-20 rule, which states that most results come from a small percentage of actions. This concept is seen in action across several parts of life. It's often observed that most company profits come from a small portion of its customers, or that a small percentage of patients typically accounts for a large portion of healthcare costs. I even notice it with my own business, The Market Hustle, where only a small portion of people following my Instagram page actually apply the financial lessons I talk about on a daily basis. Or a small portion of those who actually follow my page make up most of the social media engagement. Similarly, a small percentage of stocks are responsible for the majority of stock market gains. A study analyzing the returns of over 64,000 stocks from 1991 to 2020 found that the top performing 2.4% stocks accounted for $75.7 trillion in stock market wealth creation. In other words, only a handful of stocks accounted for most of the gains. This is exactly why diversification in the investing world is important. Diversification means spreading your money across several stocks. So if one stock fails and its price drops to zero, you won't lose all of your money because it's not all invested in one single stock. You've likely heard the old wisdom of don't keep all of your eggs in one basket. This is a popular proverb all the way back from the 17th century, basically saying not to risk everything on one thing and risk losing everything. And if wisdom from 400 years ago is still popular and well known today, there is a reason why. One of the biggest mistakes you can make as a newer investor is overexposing yourself to one single investment. Back in 2017, I had an old coworker who I used to talk about stocks with a lot. He was just starting to learn about stock options, which are contracts that give you the right to buy or sell a stock at a specific price on a certain date. These contracts sell on the open market, much like stocks do, and are much more risky. He was following a lot of the semiconductor companies at the time and decided to test out some of his new stock option knowledge with a company called Micron. He bought a call stock option, basically betting on the company to go up in price, and over the course of a few weeks, the stock option became worth multiple thousands of dollars. But then, as the weeks went on, the trade war news started to heat up, and fear started to spread in the stock markets. That same stock option became worthless in a matter of days. There are many different routes to go when it comes to the investing world. Something I say often on this podcast is to start simply. Don't go out trying the complex stuff until you have at least mastered the simple stuff. Exchange-traded funds, also known as ETFs, are easy ways to build a stock portfolio. ETFs make investing a hell of a lot easier. What are ETFs exactly? You can think of ETFs as a bunch of stocks or assets combined into one single stock. Legendary investor Warren Buffett has regularly recommended low-cost S&P 500 index funds. Exchange-traded funds, or ETFs, were developed as an alternative to mutual funds back in 1993. While both ETFs and mutual funds are very similar, the biggest difference between ETFs and mutual funds lies in how they are traded. ETFs trade throughout the day, just like individual stocks, while mutual funds are pooled investments from a large group of investors, and they trade only once per day after the market closes. So what's the best part of ETFs? Well, they allow you to build an investment strategy that is better diversified than just buying one single company's stock. This effectively reduces your risk by spreading your eggs, aka your money, across different baskets, aka different stocks or assets. The ETF market has grown enormously over the last 20 years. And here's a quick fun fact that's not really well known. Did you know that the first ever US ETF was SPY, SPY? This S&P 500 ETF, which includes exposure to the biggest 500 US public companies, was launched over 30 years ago in 1993. Today, it's still the largest ETF in the world, with over $494 billion in assets under management. There are all types of different ETFs out there in the stock market world. Some people seem to think that ETFs are limited to basic index funds, but that is not the case. There are ETFs that give you exposure to different types of investment strategies. There are ETFs that hold all of the stocks in a certain industry. For example, if you wanted to have exposure to semiconductor companies, but didn't want to invest in a single company like Nvidia, you could buy the ETF SOXX, which holds all of the major US semiconductor companies, including Nvidia. This effectively allows you to invest with much better odds rather than depending on a single company. There are also ETFs that hold different sizes of companies, small or large, and ETFs that hold companies in different specific regions or countries. There are also ETFs that track specific commodities, like GLD, giving you exposure to gold, and IBIT, which gives you exposure to Bitcoin. That's a new one right there. Now, you might be asking yourself, with all of these ETFs to pick from, which should you pick? By the end of August 2023, there were over 9,900 ETFs worldwide. There are also several different ETFs that give investors exposure to the same exact index or investment strategy. The biggest difference is that they are managed by different companies or brokerage firms. Two of my personal favorite ETFs include VOO, which is an S&P 500 index fund, and QQQ, which is a NASDAQ 100 index fund. VOO gives me exposure to the 500 biggest US companies and has a low annual expense fee of just 0.03% per year, while QQQ gives me additional concentrated exposure to tech companies that I am comfortable taking a bigger stake in. But it's still important to know how to analyze ETFs so you don't invest in the wrong ones. Let's go over four easy ways on how you can better select ETFs. And this is directly from my Money Mastery program. So number one, the first way is by taking a look at the expense ratio. How much is the fund charging in fees every single year? On average, passive ETFs charge anywhere from 0.01% up to 0.20% each year, while actively managed ETFs can charge anywhere from 0.50% to 1%, one whole percent each year. For context, an ETF with a 0.06% expense ratio means paying 6 cents for every $100 invested. These fees cover fund operating expenses. If you're stuck between two very similar funds, it's best just to go to the one that charges you a lower annual fee. All right, number two, is it a passive ETF or an actively managed ETF? A passive ETF is a fund that seeks to track a specific index, like the S&P 500 index, or a specific industry. These funds take a more buy and hold approach. They don't rely on a fund manager to actively trade stocks in the fund. On the other hand, we have an active ETF, and this is where a fund manager or a team buys and sells stocks based on their judgment. Generally speaking, passive ETFs tend to do better over long periods of time and have lower fees. All right, number three, stock holdings. So what 10 stocks make up most of the ETF, and by how much? Although ETFs tend to hold hundreds or even thousands of individual stocks, there will often be only a handful of stocks that dominate the fund. It's important to make sure that the core dominant holdings, aka the top 10 stocks, are aligned with your risk tolerance. You can find out what stocks are included in an ETF by Googling the fact sheet or searching for the fund on ETF.com. All right. And number four, assets under management. How much money is the ETF actually managing? Is the ETF managing small amounts, or is it a reputable ETF managing billions of dollars of investor money? If I'm stuck between two very similar funds, I tend to go with the one with more assets under management. For example, at the time of this recording, VOO has $423 billion of assets under management, while SPY, SPY, has $494 billion in assets under management. So SPY has slightly more assets under management than VOO. Overall, the best part about ETFs is that they reduce your odds of losing money by spreading your investments across multiple individual stocks so that you don't have to try and cherry pick the best ones. Well, that's it for podcast number 20. If you found this podcast helpful, do me a quick favor and just share it with a few people who you think would enjoy it. The more we can help each other learn these important, crucial financial concepts, the better. Well, I hope you all have an incredible rest of your day, and I will see you all back next week for another Market Hustle episode. Enjoy the rest of your day, and bye-bye. If you feel just like I do, link up, come and join this crew. Hey, I'ma go invest and I'ma watch my money double, take it to another level with that Market Hustle. Hey, always play it smart, you ain't dealing with a sucker. Take it to another level with that Market Hustle. I'ma hustle. Hey, hustle with that Market Hustle. I'ma hustle, hustle with that Market Hustle. I'ma hustle, hustle with that Market Hustle. I'ma hustle, hustle with that Market Hustle. Go.